prayer tune-up, and I want to give you three things that can help tune up your prayer life as we go forward. I hope you are a man and a woman of prayer. It's just fascinating what prayer can do as you explore that on an individual basis or as a church, as a group in one accord. What prayer can do is just amazing, and we need to rediscover it as well as tune it up from time to time. And so I'd like to talk about three different helpers that you can have in prayer, and I shared this with the chapel once and hope it'll help you too. In the book of Jude, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." I want you to notice it talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you, first of all, today in your prayer life to use your prayer partners. Number one, use your prayer partners. I believe that when we pray with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and with the help of the Holy Ghost, God will answer those prayers because those two persons of the Trinity will help us to learn what the will of God is before we go to the first person of the Trinity, the Father, in prayer, and we will pray more accurately, and specific prayers get specific answers, accurate prayers get accurate answers. And the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, the believer in Jesus Christ, to do many, 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 many things, including to help you pray correctly and to help you pray accurately. Amen? I have 19 cards here from Vacation Bible School of Children who received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior this week. Most of these are new kids that have never been to our church before. We pray. We prayed that the Lord would send in children from the community. We prayed that the Lord would send in kids that have never been here before. We prayed that they would be saved when they got here. And we had some wonderful testimonies this week of children who not only heard the preaching, but inquired themselves, wanted to know how to be saved. And somebody was able to lead them to Christ. We prayed for good weather all week. We had good weather all week. Amen. And had a few drops here and there, but it turned out to be nice weather, and we prayed for a good spirit, and we prayed for cooperation among the workers and so on and so forth. Why? Because we passed out a prayer list that I believe was guided by the Holy Ghost so we could pray accurately. Specific prayers get specific answers. And there is a God in heaven who answers prayer. And He is a God who wants to answer your prayers. He's not partial. He doesn't prefer men over women or women over men or whatever your skin color is over another skin color or whatever. No. God has absolutely no partiality. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're influential or obscure. God answers the prayers of His children who pray. And so I want to encourage you to pray. In fact, I want to encourage you to spend a lot of time in prayer. Maybe those of you that aren't praying at all, that maybe you'd start praying 5 minutes a day. And those that are praying 5 minutes a day, try 10 minutes a day. And those 10 minutes, try 20. And just see what God will do for you in prayer. And to help us pray, He's given us some helpers. He has given us two prayer partners who cannot fail. And they are the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus being the second person, the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Trinity. In fact, I can show you a chapter, and I'd like you to keep your place right here for a minute and turn back to Romans 8, where both the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ are revealed to us in Romans chapter 8 as our prayer partners, they that make intercession for us, in the same chapter. Notice Romans 8. Let's look at the Holy Spirit. We're talking about praying. Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost. What's that mean? Don't pray in the flesh. Don't pray in your own ideas. Don't just recite memorized prayers. Jesus said, don't pray with vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And so they say the same memorized prayers over and over and over and over again. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't pray that way. Let the Lord Jesus guide you in prayer. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in prayer. That's one of the reasons he lives inside of you. Notice how he does this here in verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27 says, for the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That word infirmities is a general word that means weaknesses. You are weak. I am weak. All right? The sooner we admit that, the better our prayer life will become. I don't pray as much as I do because I'm strong. Believe me. I pray as much as I do because I know I'm weak. And I need God's help. I need God's help every day. And so I start out every day in prayer alone in a bedroom on my knees before God in prayer for myself. And I pray for others. I pray for the ministries, missionaries, so on. But we pray because we're weak. He knows our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, verse 26. Well, that's humbling, isn't it? That's almost insulting. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We think we do. Have you ever prayed? I hope this is your experience. But have you ever prayed for something to God and you didn't get it? But as time went on, you saw that God gave you something a whole lot better. All right? Why? Because we didn't know how to pray as we ought. We really don't. His thoughts are above our thoughts as far as the heavens are above the earth. God the Father knows what is best for us. He knows what things we have need of before we ask. And the Holy Spirit knows. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But, verse 26, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He goes before the throne, and as I pray, in the morning, in the evening, or in my car. You can pray on the car. Just keep your eyes open. And you can pray while you're washing dishes. You can pray anywhere and everywhere. All right? And as you're praying, there are times in a speech that cannot be uttered, the Holy Spirit is changing your prayer request and saying, Father, what he really needs is this. What she really needs is this. But at least you're praying. A lot of times he'll intercede and say, now, Father, that's not the best thing for him or her, but this would be better. And he makes intercession for us. This is what he does. And notice this is according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, that's good news because it says, in 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions we've desired of him. So I want to encourage you to go to prayer and go to prayer before God, knowing that, hey, if you blow it, the Holy Spirit's there to correct you anyway. But at least you're praying. And he will intercede for you. He maketh intercession for the saints, verse 27. But we have somebody else. Look down at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Notice that statement there in verse 34. Who also maketh intercession for us? He's building on verses 26 and 27. He says, I just told you how the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, but the Lord Jesus Christ also makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You say, what's Jesus doing right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for his children. Do you understand? You have two prayer partners. Before you ever get to the Father in your private time of prayer, you have two prayer partners that you can consult. the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Holy Spirit, your Comforter, and they can guide you. They can show you what God's will is. And as you're reading the Bible, you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. And as you read the Bible over and over and over again, He begins to form your mind so you begin to think in the will of God so that when you pray, you don't pray crazy prayers anymore. But you pray in the will of God and you will get your prayers answered. This is a helper in prayer, is using your two prayer partners. I like to try to picture things in my mind. I like to picture God in front of me on the throne, God the Father. The Holy Spirit's hanging on to this hand. He's holding my hand here. The Lord Jesus is holding out my hand here. And my prayer life is me approaching the throne with these two prayer partners. Going to the Father and saying, Father, I've been talking to Thy Holy Spirit and I've been talking to Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you begin to make your prayer. That will help your prayer life if you're in communion. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Communion with the Holy Spirit. Communion with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then as you're communing with them, they know what the will of God is and they begin to form your mind and your heart so you're thinking in the will of God. Then when you go to the Father, 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions we desire to Him. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Don't ignore Him. Have communion with Him. And the same with the Lord Jesus. And they will help you pray more accurately. And then when you don't know how to pray, and you may say, oh, Lord God, Father, please heal me of this infirmity. The Holy Spirit may then step in and say, Father, it's not time for him or her to be healed. They need this infirmity because it's going to build their faith in the Lord. They're going to pray more. They're going to trust in you more. They're going to see the urgency of prayer more. Do you notice how sometimes it takes pretty radical things to get us to pray? And we think the radical thing is a bad thing, so we ask God to take it away. And God says, I'm not taking that away. That's the only way I can get to hear from you. Or some accident, some health problem. Some broken heart, some emotional distress, some mental disorder. Man, sometimes we think, boy, God should just take a magic wand and take all those things away. Some of those things are the best things that have ever happened to us. A wayward child breaks your heart every day of your life. Financial problems where you never have two nickels to rub together. Well, you just go before God with that and pray. We say, I need a better job. God, help me to hit the lottery. That'd be the worst thing that ever happened to you, is to have a whole bunch of money fall into your lap. Some people split from God so fast and so far, as soon as they hit the jackpot in life and get money, they never think about God again. And so a lot of times we go in the will of God or the best we know. You pray the best you know, and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit come along and make intercession for us. Man, you're not alone when you go pray. You got some prayer partners. Use them. This will help tune up your prayer life. Use your prayer partners. Before you go to the throne in your private closet prayer time, be in communion with the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus all day long. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 34. I want to show you a second thing here. A second thing that will help tune up your prayer life. Maybe you're not praying at all. Be a good time to start. God wants to hear from you. He really does. Don't think prayer strange. Some of you ladies maybe can go to prayer meeting Tuesday night, Jane Gannon's house, and just listen to them pray. They're not going to force you to pray or embarrass you. Just listen to them pray, but learn how to pray. I want you to notice something here. Peter quotes this verse in 1 Peter 3. We're going to go to there in a minute. He quotes this verse almost word for word, but in Psalm 34 and verse 15, it's a wonderful promise. You might want to underline it. It says, the eyes of the Lord are open unto the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. I want you to write this down. Number two, righteousness. Righteousness can help your prayer life. Peter is going to change one of the words in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 to prayer, our subject. But it's implied here in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are open. The eyes of the Lord are upon the who? The righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And his ears are open unto their cry. Do you see the value of being righteous? I didn't say the value of being proud. I didn't say the value of being self-righteous. Our righteousness is in Christ. In Christ alone. What I mean here by righteousness, number two, is doing right. Do right, do right, do right, till the stars fall, do right, was a saying Dr. Bob Jones Sr. became famous for. Do right, do right, do right. Every single action in your life, what is the right thing? Study the Bible so you know what the right thing is, and then do right. In 2011, when most people in our society want to do wrong as fast as they can, you may have to stand alone and do right. And you say, What do I get for it? The open ears of God. Did you ever close your ears to somebody? You know what I mean? Did you ever close your ears to somebody? Let me illustrate. Do you know any hypocrites? I know we all have hypocrisy in our lives, and we're all trying to get better with God's help. But do you know somebody who's a full-blown hypocrite, and then they come up to you and try to give you advice? What happens to your ears? You see their lips moving? But man, your ears are closed. Why, you're saying this guy is not going to tell me anything. He needs to straighten out his own life first before he goes around preaching to me or anybody else. You know what I mean? Do you know people like that? We run across people like that. I remember a guy who was $155,000 in debt. I don't have any debt. My house is paid off. My car is paid off. I don't have any outstanding credit card bills or anything. That's the way I've lived for about 15 years, 18 years now. And he's going to tell me some things about finances. I'm serious. That happened to me once. I was trying to help him get out of debt. He says, I got it figured out. I went through this whole thing with him on how he could get out of debt in 8 years. It took me hours and hours, days and days. Come to his house one day, there's a brand new motorcycle there. What is this? Oh, it's going to save me on gas. And then he went on this discourse on how my plan wouldn't work. You know what? We tend to close our ears to people like that. You know what I'm saying? We close our ears. But when somebody is right, when somebody's sincere, when somebody's godly, or they've set a good example, and he or she has walked in wisdom, you know what that is? You know, there's people I run across like that who've walked with God for so long, and they've walked in wisdom, and they've done right. And when I get in their presence, man, my lips just shut, and my ears become wide open. Did you ever notice that? How you can close your ears? I mean, you're listening, but you're not hearing. Or you can open your ears to somebody. Now, this is amazing, folks. This is amazing. But the Bible says God's ears are open upon the righteous. Open to their cry. And his ears are open to their cry. But the word is righteous right in the middle of that verse. Righteous, the man or the woman. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're trying to do right. God's ears are wide open to their cry. I don't know if this is true, but that word cry right there, as I was thinking about illustrating it, I don't know how this works in life, but they say that you could get a whole bunch, like 100 kids out on a playground somewhere, and a bunch of their mothers are over here at the picnic table talking and yakking with each other. Kids are playing, and all of a sudden, one of them cries because they got hurt. the mother can pick out if that's her child or not. Just like that. They recognize the cry. Or they can just go on drinking their iced tea or whatever. Kid's crying, and they just say, "It's not mine." But boy, when it's theirs, they can pick her out just like that. Do you know that's how God is with his children? When a man or a woman chooses to live a righteous life and they begin to cry out to God, God can pick out that child just like that, and God can say, that's my child. And his ears are open to their cry. Now, Peter quotes this over in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. If you'll turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Peter uses that verse, and he says it in these words, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." See, that's our subject today. His ears are open. God is like this. When a righteous person, when a person on earth decides, "I'm going to do right, I don't care what everybody else does in the summertime, I'm going to do the right thing," God's ears are wide open to that person. And that person cries out, and they have God's attention. I'm saying, this will help your prayer life by doing right. You know why I always harp on men loving their wives? Because it's right. It's right. That's why. It's the right thing to do. Why? God said so. He said, love them unconditionally, expecting absolutely nothing ever in return. And you're loving your wife the right way. Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. When you love your wife that way, you know why I'm trying to do that? Not just so you'll have a good marriage, but so you'll have a good prayer life. Dwell with them according to knowledge, 1 Peter 3 and verse 4 says. Look up at that verse. Verse 7. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Notice the end of verse 7. That your prayers be not hindered, that your prayers be not cut down, that your prayers be not cut off, that your prayers be not hewn down. Those are some of the phrases that are used from that Greek word in other places. That's why I'm harping on it. Not just so you'll have a good marriage, but so you'll have an open prayer life. You know why I say to people, go to church every time the doors are open? Why? Because it's right. Read your Bible every day. Why? Because it's right. Pray every day. Why? Because it's right. Every time the offering basket comes around, give tithes and offerings. Why? Because it's right. It's right. Win souls to Christ. Learn how to be a witness. Why? Because it's right. Live a separated life. Live a holy life. Live a godly life. It's right. Shut off the ungodly television shows and websites. Why? Because it's right. Why do we say, do right, do right, do right? Why? Because the ears of the Lord are open to the righteous. And there's going to come a time where you're going to have an emergency in your life and you're going to need a straight path to God's throne in prayer. And God's going to say, that's one of my children crying. Do right. Summertime, everybody gets hazy and lazy, laid back. You just keep going. You just do right. Do right. Do right. If no one else wants to, keep that channel open. Finally, number 3, obedience. There's more to this. I got about 10 actually, but I won't do 3. In 1 John chapter 3. By the way, going back to point number 2, what does James 5:16 say? The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man. Sometimes people say, prayer didn't work for me. Are you doing right? Doesn't mean you're perfect, but are you trying to do right? Are you trying to do right? That's all. God just respects and helps people who are trying. Just trying. That's all God asks. Just try to do right. I'll help you by my grace and my Holy Ghost power. And just try to do right. you know, take a stand at work and people are cursing and telling filthy jokes, don't laugh with them. Just go over there and read your New Testament or something on a break. Do right. Do right. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man. Just before that, it said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But he did right. Did right. Got his prayers answered. You can too. This is for you. It's for me. Obedience is very similar. Number three, 1 John 3:22, and we'll close with this. 1 John 3:22 talks about obedience, which certainly is tied to righteousness. It says these words, and whatsoever we ask, that's prayer, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. That's obedience. Just keep his commandments. What commandment are you struggling with? Is it separation? Is it godliness? Is it holy living? Is it dress? The Bible talks a lot about dress and our appearance, dressing modestly. When everybody else is flinging their clothes off as fast as they can as soon as it gets to be about 60 degrees. You keep your clothes on. So he says, why do you dress like that? Well, I just believe it's right in the sight of God. It might open an opportunity to witness to the person. Might open opportunity. Might be a good testimony. Tithes and offerings, you're struggling with that? Whatsoever we ask, we receive him because we keep his commandments. But notice the rest. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Over in chapter 5 and verse number 3, it says, his commandments are not grievous. There are people who think his commandments are grievous, that he's going to put a whole bunch of chains on us, a whole bunch of laws, a whole bunch of rules, and they're going to be like chains and iron balls on our hands and feet where we can just barely get through life because we've got to keep all of these commandments. God's got us chained down. No, these things set us free. Set us free. Keeping his commandments, it says, are not grievous. This word grievous here means heavy in weight. They're not burdensome. They're not severe. They're not stern. They're not cruel or unsparing. Some people think, well, if I keep the Lord's commandments, I'll never have fun again a day of my life. You'll have more than fun. You'll have joy. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. For at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In his presence is fullness of joy. And I've seen a lot of people over the years that thought they were having all kinds of fun in the world, but they were empty, there was a void in their life, they were miserable, and they were drinking and partying and reveling and so on because everybody else was, but on the inside they could be in the midst of a huge crowd and it's empty and as lonely as a person could be. But then they find Christ and receive him as their Savior and he satisfies the needs of their soul. He fills that God-shaped vacuum inside of them and gives them a reason for living, and he begins to pour his joy into them and his peace into them, and they begin to separate from those activities and behaviors and even some of those people. They still love them, still try to win them to Christ, but they say, why? Because they don't need those things anymore to satisfy. They find that Christ is the satisfier. He said to a woman at the well who had five husbands and she was living with a man in John chapter 4, he said, whosoever, they're sitting at the water well, he said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give them shall be in them a well of life to spring up into everlasting life. Satisfied in Jesus Christ. His commandments aren't grievous. Let's say a wife really loves her husband and he says to her, you know, I got to pick up some business associates tomorrow for work. Could you vacuum out the car? You know, if she really loves him, that's not grievous for her to do. And when we really love God, his commandments aren't grievous. They're an honor. Be glad to do anything for you. See, I don't have to read the Bible. I get to read the Bible. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to give tithes and offerings. I get to, and I haven't been able to outgive God yet. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to go out visiting. I get to go out visiting. And there's times out there God uses me and it comes back. It's just glorious. I don't have to serve. I get to serve. But we have to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I'll close with this illustration. Half of you have seen it before. But maybe some of you are new. In verse 22, it says this about our obedience. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments." That's not all, though. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I could say to my kids, my son or something when he was growing up, "Son, take out the garbage." And he could be there. I could look out the window and see him like this. "Boy, what am I, a slave around here? I thought slavery was illegal in this country." He obeyed me. He obeyed me. I asked him to take out the garbage. He obeyed me. But did he do that which was pleasing in my sight? Something that will help your prayer life right here. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. What a promise. Because we keep His commandments, we obey Him and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I say to my son, "Take out the garbage." He goes, "Okay, Dad, no problem." He's got on the lids around there for him so the skeleton animals don't get in them. And takes it out and he's whistling Dixie or something. He puts the thing down and goes back and gets the other one. And takes that thing and puts that thing down over there. And I'm looking at my son and I say, "Boy, what a son that gives me joy. Now, son, what do you want? Do you get it? What do you think next time he comes up to me and asks me for something?" "Sure, son. Be glad to." That'll help your prayer life. You obey the Lord and do those things that are pleasing. You say, "Oh, I get to read the Bible today. I get to go to church tonight." And by the way, I'm preaching on one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible tonight. It's so exciting. My heart beats faster every time in my Bible reading I come to it. I've read the Bible through 34 times, but every time I come to this chapter tonight, my heart starts beating a little faster. You have to be here at 6:30 to hear it. I hope it'll help you. I love it. Pleasing in His sight. I get to go to church. I get to ride the bus. I get to work in Vacation Bible School. I get to have a class. I get to clean the church up. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Their heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I hope these things will help you. I know they will. They'll help your prayer life. They'll help tune up your prayer life. These three helpers. Number one, having a good relationship with your prayer partners, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus. Number two, doing right. Even though nobody else wants to do right, you do right. Nobody else wants to be pure or clean anymore, but you be pure, you be clean. God will hear your cries. And then let's obey with a spirit to please the Father, not, "Oh, I have to do this," but a spirit to please the Father. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the piano begins to play song of invitation. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to encourage you to trust in this wonderful Lord, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave. Our sins have separated us from God and brought a curse on us. We're condemned. And for all of eternity, we'll spend separated from God. The Bible speaks a place called hell, a lake of fire. But God loves everybody here so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to this earth to live a perfect life, preach and teach many things, do miracles, but eventually to climb on a cross and die in our place. Jesus died for me. I should have died for my sins. I should have died in my sin. But Jesus said, I love him too much. I'll die for him. The penalty for sin is death. I will pay his death penalty for him. And Jesus shed his blood to wash away our sins. The life is in the blood, and he gave his life for us. They buried him in a tomb in 3 days, and 3 nights later he rose from the grave. He's alive forevermore, and he's knocking on the door of your heart today. He wants to come in and save you, because you cannot save yourself. All the good works in the world can't save our souls, but there is a Savior. And he's a person, not a religion, not a church. He's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd like to lead you where you're sitting in a word of prayer right now to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're not absolutely sure you're going to heaven someday, that you've been saved from your sins, the desire of your heart is to be saved and to be with God forever and to have your sins forgiven and receive Christ as your Savior, then right where you're sitting, would you pray to God something like this? Dear Heavenly Father, I need to be saved. Lord Jesus, I am so sorry that you had to die on a cross for me and my sins. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you with all my heart. Come into my life right now. I accept you as my Savior. Please give me eternal life. Have mercy on me and save me. Now, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, some of you today have followed me in prayer, but you've prayed to God and you've asked the Lord Jesus to save you. And that God who cannot lie said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad for you. Nobody else is looking. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. But if you've asked the Lord to be your Savior today, would you just kindly and just very quickly just raise your hand up. Let me see it. Then take it down. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. You may put them down. Is there anyone else? Is there anybody else? Raise your hand up. Say, God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus to save me this morning, and I meant it. Father, bless now as we close in song in Jesus' name.